We just received news that the Supreme Court did what everybody expected they would do because they're a bunch of godless reprobates, five of them at least, and they've legalized same-sex marriage for all 50 states, basically saying that a couple of sodomites have a right to be married in all 50 states. Now, I just want to give you my response because I've already got a dozen emails and messages, and so I just want to put this on video, and all the listeners and viewers of Bible Believers Fellowship as well as our local BBFers can hear my response to this here. And the first thing I want to encourage you to do is take a look around. I don't care how sweet and nice that person, that friend of yours is, that relative of yours is, if they are responding positively to this and celebrating this, you're looking at someone who's full of the devil. They are filled with the spirit of Satan and the spirit of rebellion. And they can smile and just talk as nice. As a matter of fact, the more you hear that hiss of the serpent from the sodomites, you ought to recognize where it's coming from. And those who support this travesty. This is blasphemy. The United States of America, the government of the United States of America, under the Supreme Court's authority, has just blasphemed God. Marriage is defined in the Scripture and by Jesus Christ as one man and one woman. And what the United States of America has done is spit in the face of God. And there's no two ways about it, no other way to cut it. Our government is damned. And because of that, this nation is damned. And the only thing that has to ice the cake is this continual hatred of Jews and Israel. And as soon as that cake is iced, it doesn't have to happen, folks, after the rapture. I've repeatedly taught that. And we're misrepresented by people who say, oh, you believe in the pre-trib rapture, you think nothing bad's going to happen until after the rapture. No. The only thing I know will not happen before the rapture are the seals, trumpets, and vials. But just like you saw in Rwanda, and just like you've seen in other Central and South American countries, and just as you've seen going on all over the world at times, there's no biblical reason to believe that the United States of America could not suffer a massive depression, huge domestic uprisings, martial law, and the whole nine. Will it happen? I pray not. I don't want to go through that. But we could. But it has nothing at all to do with the rapture and the great tribulation. Now, before the rapture, we could see all these things just bust loose as we turn as a nation. Of course, those of us who are Bible believers, we're standing apart from that nation on an individual basis. But our country, our nation as a whole, has just spit in the face of God, committed national suicide. And again, we're turning on the Jews. You've got these movies, these documentaries, these churches who are turning against the Jews in Israel. Idiots like Chuck Baldwin, idiots like Steven Anderson, idiots like Tex Mars, idiots who don't know their Bible, they're Bible novices, they have no reason to be teaching the Bible because the Bible says a novice shouldn't be a teacher. They don't even recognize the dispensations. They don't even rightly divide the word of truth. They're replacing Israel with the church. Even though the Bible says in Romans 11:25 that Israel is blind, they claim to be Israel. It's insane. But it's all part of the big picture. And that's why I'm not, you know, out burning flags, even though I put one burning on my Facebook page to make a statement. I'm not out rioting. I'm not going to do what they did in Baltimore. What we have to do is force ourselves to think biblically. And that's in order to keep your sanity and to not allow sodomites to rob you of your hope in Jesus Christ. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm a proud American up to this point because of our heritage. But now, America, you make me sick. And if you don't think you make God sick, you are deceived, America. You make God want to puke. And all you fake preachers performing these fake weddings called gay marriage, you make God sick. And I can't get mad at you. I do sometimes feel anger, but I can't really be too mad at you because you're going to burn in hell for eternity. And that is, I don't care if you believe it or not, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. And I just feel sorry for you. Fools. A bunch of fools. You think you're getting away with something? You're not getting away with anything. You're going to be in a lake of fire. Repent or perish. And so we sit back and we look at this and we have to face the reality that our nation is reprobate. The majority of the people are reprobate. Almost all of our politicians are reprobate. Obviously, the majority of our Supreme Court justices are reprobate. And these are the times we live in. And so what do? Well, we just look at it biblically. But we also have to learn a lesson from history that I've been trying to teach. And that is, despite what Glenn Beck and that, wall builders, David Barton, I think is his name. These guys have been around trying to convince you that our founding fathers were a bunch of Bible-believing Christians. And that George Washington was a Christian and, you know, all this stuff. It's nonsense. And I've tried to be nice about it through the years and just tell people the facts, you know, casually, but we've got to start. Folks, we're not supposed to love lies. And if you look at our founding fathers and all but a couple of our presidents, the truth is the truth. They're a bunch of unsaved men. And if you look at our founding documents, don't tell me the founders were a bunch of Bible-believing Christians and they don't even mention Jesus Christ. They don't even mention the Bible as a basis for our laws in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Folks, I remember it was a shock to me. I became a Christian and I started reading these books and watching these videos about our country and how we had a Christian founders. We had Christian founders who founded in a... And then my Uncle Larry, who departed about will be a year and a half ago. Before he went to be with the Lord, we were having a conversation out on my grandma's porch one day, and he said, "Those founding fathers are the reason things are a mess right now." And he started explaining. And the fact of the matter is, most of them belonged to apostate denominations if they went to church. Most of them were Freemasons. And they're the ones who brought in slaves. And the founders brought slaves and slavery and all this stuff about the Confederate flag. We've got to face up to the fact that as much as we love our country, and it's been the greatest nation that man has had anything to do with on this planet, I believe that. But our founders refused to name our God and His book. And that is why we're where we're at today. And that is why we will not have a kingdom of truth and righteousness, a kingdom of freedom and justice in any real sense, until Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the earth. America ain't it. The founders left out any basis for the Supreme Court to run back to the Scripture and say, "Hey man, marriage is between a man and a woman." They can't say that whenever the founders didn't say that that's what we based our laws on. Now, you know, there are some founder statements in letters to each other where they said they believed that that was this and that. You know, that doesn't mean anything. If the majority of founders really believed that Jesus Christ was the true God, the only Savior of the world, and that the Bible was the basis for our laws, they would have said so. And they did not. And now we are bearing the consequences. You may not like what I'm saying, but it is the truth, and we've got to deal with it. We are dealing with it, whether you like it or not. And so, you know, months ago, I accepted this outcome, and I have to tell you, folks, it's going to get worse. And as hard as this is, as Americans especially, that around the world they're celebrating this, but as Americans, it's just kind of hard to stomach. But you know what? As Christians first, as Bible-believing Christians first, we're seeing proof that God is, and that His Word is true. Why? Because God predicted this. And we can read portion after portion of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, I want to share. This know also, beginning verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Now listen to this verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Did you hear that? Our response is to double down on the Word of God, to take a stand as the culture increasingly turns against Christians, just like it was in the first and second century in Rome. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to die? I've heard people say, well, for the gospel, but not over gay marriage. Well, listen, it's not optional to stand with God's Word as a Christian. In the first century, they weren't being murdered for preaching the gospel. They were being murdered because they refused to go along with Roman culture and to do things like offer incense to the gods or to the emperor as a god. And they were... A lot of them were crucified and burned alive and boiled alive or imprisoned at least because they partook of the bread and the wine, and they were accused of things like cannibalism. And because brother and sister were married, you see, like brother Greg and sister Jenny were married, they accused them of incest. You better get used to this. These people are liars. You call gay marriage marriage, that's a lie. It's fake. The Supreme Court invents this right. They're a bunch of liars. And once you deal with liars, they'll lie about anything to get to their end. Like Ben Affleck lied and covered up the fact he had a slave-owning ancestor. Why? He can't help it. He's a liar. These people just lie. They lie. They lie. And they're going to continue to lie, and they're going to lie about you. And that's where you find out who your friends are. When they arrest you for something, they trump up charges with no evidence. We'll see who stands with you. That's what's going to happen. It's always happened to Christians through the years. You look at when the Russian gulag and the Nazi Gestapo rounded up Christians. They just, and Jews, of course, they accused them of anything. They didn't have to even be guilty. They just accused them of something and took them away. And Jesus told us that as the end draws near, things would return to the state they were in as they were in the days of Lot. That's, Jesus prophesied that in Luke 17, verses 28 to 30. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Just look around you. It's all going on while they're in legalizing and forcing gay marriage and the sodomite agenda down your throat, business as usual. Verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's the pre-trib rapture. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So before God destroys them all, we still have to live with it. Lot had to live with it. And it came down to the point, you know, it's going to get much worse if it's going to be like in the days of Lot, because in the days of Lot, the entire culture was Sodomite, and they were gathering around his house to forcibly rape men in his house. So it's going to get worse. Look at it, Genesis 19, verses 4 to 7. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, pederasty, as they pronounce it, pederasty, underaged, post-pubescent boys, young and old, all the people from every quarter. That's where this is going next. Lowering the age of consent. Verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them, as in carnal knowledge. Legal term. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Lot would have been called a bigot in our day. So how do we respond to this ever-worsening Sodomite culture? We continue doing what we're doing if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You continue preaching the gospel. You continue doing the Lord's work. You continue doing what's right. You serve the Lord, everything for His glory. You do what pleases God, not man. And it's that simple. Everything that comes down your line, if you have some kind of situation at work, or some situation in your family, some situation at the grocery store where you're put on the spot about this thing, you do what's right no matter the consequences. That's how we respond. We have to realize also that this is confirmation of God's Word. So you see, it really can be encouraging if you'll get the right perspective. We are watching prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. So there's no reason to get panicky about it. This is not shocking to God. God saw this coming. And He told us ahead of time so we wouldn't be thrown off. God is alive. God is real. God predicted what you saw in the news today. And God predicts it's going to get worse. The Sodomite culture is going to get worse. The hatred of Jews and Israel is going to get worse. The hatred of true Bible-believing Christians is going to get worse. Persecution is going to get worse. And if you have the right perspective, you can say, praise God. Because He told us this was going to happen. His Word is true. So we can get excited about the rapture. And stay tuned. More's coming, as long as the Lord tarries, more's coming. But stay busy. And stop listening to idiots. I mean, you got these fake preachers out here doing everything they can to accommodate the Sodomites. If you want to listen to them, you're in violation of what we just read. You're supposed to turn away from people like that. And Romans 1:32, I call it the Romans 1:32 crowd. It's described saying, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the majority of Christian churches today. They're accommodating Sodom. And you are supposed to turn away from that. You say, well, where will I go to church? You're better off sitting in your house with a Bible, listening to videos, Bible teaching from us, or other Bible-believing preachers and teachers, than to yoke up with a bunch of apostates. If your church accommodates this gay marriage thing, as it's called, in any way, shape, or form, and you stay in that church, You are in disobedience against God's word. He said to turn away from those people. If you can't find a good local church, that does not mean you still go to a local church. You only go to a local church if it's biblical. You've got the internet. If you use wisdom and discernment, and I'd like to believe that if you're listening to this, you'll know bbfohio.com. As long as the internet isn't taken down, we're going to be out there providing these for free. You can download them and have them on a hard drive and just listen to them as you need them. And even if they take the internet down, you'll still have them. So the Bible is clear. We turn away from this apostasy in our churches and our homes and our private lives. So the question is, what will you do? Will you choose to accept and accommodate and join the apostasy, or will you turn away from all association with the pro-sodomite crowd? And by the way, I just want to note this. I know some of you might ask, if this decision is interpreted in such a way or enacted in such a way that they say, preacher, you can only do weddings that are recognized by the state of Ohio if you will agree to do gay marriages, then I'll never do another state-recognized marriage again. I'll perform the service and ceremony, as whatever word you want to use, and I will announce that you have become man and wife by verbal contract, which you will consummate on your trip to the honeymoon, and that's it. I won't say anything. I won't mention the state. It's in the eyes of God and the eyes of people. The state should have never been involved in the thing in the first place. We've accommodated that here locally because of things like insurance and Social Security and all that sort of thing. So, but you know, we come to the point where we may have to just bunk it, junk it completely. And that's where we stand. And so let's pray for one another. Look up. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. When man's law goes against God's law, we obey God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when you have the government telling people that two men and two women being called married is okay, it's legal, are you going to go along with that?
No.
I'm here to tell you, I'm not.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody comes here and says, you either marry these two men or we'll close you down. You may think I'm terrible, but we'll have us a wedding. We will. And I'll say, do you, George, in defiance of God Almighty, sickening every God-fearing person on the planet, want to declare yourself married to this thing? And do you, Freddie? I shouldn't say that. I know a guy named Freddie, and he's not gay. Do you, thing? There you go. That's safe. Do you, in total rebellion against the holy God of this earth, the one who created you, who says that what you are doing is an abomination, do you wish to be declared married to that thing? And now, in spite of what is good and true, and in complete contradiction to the law of God, I now announce that this reprobate government recognize you as married. Kiss off. Where's the food? You gotta have food at a wedding. Hey, this... That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And that just means unless you just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, blah, 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 blah. And they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believe the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And by that alone, you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that is going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God, and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope.
The rumble of the thunder of